Now, I'm going to show you the greatest enemy that you have. Before you go to Ephesians 4, come to Hebrews 3. That's where I wanted to start. Hebrews chapter 3. The greatest enemy you have is not your husband and your wife. The greatest enemy you have is yourself and your heart getting twisted, your heart getting whacked out, your heart getting messed up. Listen, when you're in the pulpit, you have no friends, you have no family, and you have no foes. You got to do what God says to do. And the difference in some people is I'm afraid to say something the wrong way because I'm scared God might just drop me dead. And I know you think that's silly. But that's how I was raised, and that's what I believe.
Amen.
And I believe it's that serious. I believe people's souls are at stake, and I believe if I give wrong instruction, I will give an account for it when I get to heaven. So I'm going to err on the side. I'm telling you again, I'm going to err on the side. I'm way over on the right side. If you choose to come back more to the middle than I am, that's your business. But don't you dare try to drag me down with you.
Amen.
Don't you use your friendship with me, your fellowship with me, your money that you give to this church, how long you've been, don't you dare use that to try to move me in your direction. If God wants to move me, He's plenty big enough to move me.
Amen.
Don't you go using my wife to try to get me to move. I ain't moving.
Amen.
I'll amen it if you don't amen it.
Amen.
I'm not falling for that stuff. You say, what are you trying to do? You're trying to fish me back the middle. You say, why? Because you're uncomfortable right now. That's why. Because it's too much for you. I told you, everybody don't make the trip.
Amen.
We're not here to always be trying to spend our time helping you along. We're here to follow after the Lord and do your best to keep up. But at least try to keep up.
Amen.
But now what you're saying, well, you need to lighten up. No, it's obvious from Bible study. I need to toughen up. Y'all need to tighten up. And you're getting a little fat around the middle. Hebrews chapter 3, I'm not your enemy. Paul said, am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Apparently so. Verse number 7, the Bible says, wherefore, 3:7, Hebrews 3:7, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if we hear His voice, look at verse 8. Harden not your hearts, as in provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with the generation, and said, they do always err in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, you mean God gets angry? Oh, imagine that. Yes, he gets angry. It cost him his son. Yes, he gets angry. And the Bible says, so I swear in my wrath, they shall not come enter into my rest. I know where the passage fits in the millennium. I understand all that. But we get the practical teaching. I'm going to give you plenty of practical verses for you to choke on in just a minute. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from a living God. And preacher, you can't say I don't believe it. Really? The Bible says you reap what you sow. Well, do you or don't you? Do you believe it or not?
Amen.
Then why do you keep doing it? You just lied. Come to Ephesians 4. You don't believe it or you wouldn't do it. You don't believe it if you believe slander's wrong? Whoosh, tear that page out of the Bible. You believe gossip's wrong? Whoosh, tear that page out of the Bible. You believe evil speaking's wrong? Tear that page out of the Bible. I mean, just get your cat of nine tails and rip out all them pages you don't like because they don't fit with what you're doing. You can rip them out like Jehudi took his penknife in the days of the prophets, and I'm telling you, it doesn't change what it says whether you like it or not.
Amen. Amen.
Preacher, you know, I believe it. So, God said it. That settles it. Don't make yourself a hypocrite by claiming to believe something you don't, or you wouldn't have the rotten attitudes you got right now, where you blowed up like a stinking blowfish ready to be pared open there and somebody get it for sushi. You blowed up right now. What's he getting on to me about? Why are you taking it personal? You ought to be saying, yeah, boy, let her rip, tater chip. But you're like, well, I don't know.
Some of you new people, new visitors, you're like, what happened to him?
Yeah, it was COVID. I got the new thing now. I got long COVID. There's short and there's long. Long is the one that whacks you out in your head. So I guess I got the long one. Ephesians chapter number 4. Look, if you will, please, in verse number 18. Having your understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. Why? Because of what? You mean I can have a blinded heart? I don't know. Let's keep going. Let's look in Proverbs chapter 28. You know, some of that slop you watch on that box and some of that stuff that you fool around with and all that, I know why some of you women have a hard time doing what your husband says. You've been watching too much of the box and playing with too much internet. Because they promote that all the time. Amen. You ain't a Bible believer. Eve. Jezebel. God's on your side, but only if you're doing what He wants you to do. You think God's going to be on your side if you step out of His protocol? You're smoking crack. Amen. I thought you were a Christian. Thought you didn't grieve the Holy Spirit. You sure about that? 90% of the reason that people have the problems they have is because they're out of line with what God said. That's just the truth of the matter. You don't need a degree to tell you that. I have some women in here that do what her ogre of her husband tells them to do, and God blesses them in spite of that and gives them the patience to be able to put up with the thing. But you're going to break the mold, ain't you? I'm talking to you on the internet, too, just so you know, because you haven't heard, so I make sure you get it, too. This is for everybody. Well, I just know that my husband... See? I'm not talking to your husband right now. I'm going to do a women's meeting before long. And I'm going to have all the men sit in the balcony. Proverbs chapter 28, verse number 14. Happy is the man that feareth alway. But he that hardeneth his heart shall what? Well, I reckon the reason that I fell into sin last time was because I didn't fear the Lord. Is that possible? Is it possible, if the Bible's right, that the reason that I know I did exactly what God said not to do, is it possible that the problem was that I didn't fear God? That's what it says. He says you'll fall into mischief. When you lose that fear of God, look, it's like this. If your kids lose the fear they have of you, I don't want my kids to be afraid of me. You're an idiot. You want them to think that if you are not at the house, that if they cross that street, you are going to come down supernaturally out of the sky and grab them and pull them by their hair back into the house. You want them to go, Mama said, don't leave the house. Mama said, don't leave the house. Mama said, don't leave the house. I was so scared that if my dad said, don't leave the yard, I was afraid. I go up to the edge of that house. I'm like, I know he's in the woods. If I step across that line, he's going to get me. You know what he'd come in and do? He'd come in, first thing he'd say to me, he'd say, hey, to my mama. And then he'd come up to me and he'd say, did you stay in the yard today, boy? Well, you can say what you want, but you don't lie to that man. Because it's like before cameras, he had cameras. It's like he would know. And if you did, he'd be like, I see you in the bedroom. It's like if I didn't confess, you wouldn't know. You know what? Your kids should be afraid of you in the right way. Yeah, boy, you go roll up Dr. Spock and do with him whatever you want to do with him. Zechariah chapter number 7. That's why whoever's going to be in charge of cities, states, towns, counties, so on and so forth, unless that's restored, you're going to have riots. You say, wow, there's no respect for authority. None. And just while I'm on it, when you start running your mouth about the police, you're on bad ground. You say, why? Because you're undermining authority, and what you do in moderation, your kids will do in excess. And maybe you ran into a bad one. I won't tell you there's not some bad ones. But I bet there's some bad ones in your business too. See, the only reason you say there's bad police is because they're your authority. That's why you use that with one or two of them. The fact of the matter is less than 10% of those individuals in a lifetime ever bring any disrespect or anything to the badge. Less than 10%. Can your profession say that? I can tell you why you say it. Let me go ahead and say this too while I'm on it. I'm proud of what I did and who I was when I did it. I didn't quit it because I came to my senses like, this is just wrong to be arresting people and telling people what to do. And I didn't have no problem with it at all. I would hook you up so fast it would make your head swim. I would literally open up an invitation. Would you like to go to jail? I will be glad to accommodate you. Anybody that dared say to me, are you filling your quota? I have no quota. I'll be glad to give you a few more. You say, you're just a jerk. No, I'm proud of what I did. And I would have took a bullet for you and I would come to your house, even if I had arrested you the night before, to pull your hind end out of the alligators. Amen. But don't ever make it look like, you know, he don't do that anymore. I'd still be there if God didn't call me to do what I'm doing now. Amen. In some kind of capacity, sweeping the floor, I'd be a janitor, I'd be something. I loved it. I'm not ashamed of it. I did not do things there except in the way I supervised when I didn't know any better. I did not do anything I'm ashamed of.
Amen. Amen.
Proud I did that.
He shouldn't be proud.
Go suck a lemon. Don't try to pull that one. You know, preacher, you know, the old preacher told you I ain't a police one no more. Yeah, but he's coming out a little bit tonight. This idea that you shouldn't have been that way. No. You wouldn't be that way. Don't tell me I shouldn't be that way. You ain't got the gear in you to be that way. You're too much. Well, what would you like to do? What would make you happy? I don't know. That's why you don't like people that can make decisions, because you're, what's popular? How many would like to do it this way? How many would like to do it that way? Oh no, what are we going to do? It's a tie. Mate! A decision.
Amen.
You say, why? You're going to offend 50% of the people no matter what you do.
Amen.
I got time for all that. He didn't like the decision I made. Okay. Well, the house was burning, and while they were burning, we were going to get them out while you were deciding whether or not you wanted to charge in or not. Should I or shouldn't I? No, you can be like the jackleg that ran off and about got two of us killed one night. You can get, if that's what you want to do. But don't think after that's over, I'm going to go throw my arm around you and go, hey man, it's okay. You don't back me up no more. So you carrying a grudge? No. I think that guy's dead now. I'm not carrying a grudge. I'm just telling you, don't back me up no more. I know where you're at. I know if it's your butt on the line, I know what you're going to do. You stinking coward, you're going to run. I know how you Christians are. If it's your hind end on the line, oh, we got to go. That's all right. Just don't back me up no more. Make it like you are when you ain't.
Boy, you're going to answer it to judgment seat. No. Oh, well, okay. And so will you. Let's see how we come out. Zechariah. Did you find it yet? I gave you a little extra time there, a little extra commentary. It's in the Old Testament there. You probably don't read it very much. Look in chapter 7. Look, if you will, please, in verse number 12, talking about the heart. Make it 11. They refused and to hearken and pulled away their shoulder, stopped their ears. They should not hear. They're being a brat. You know what I'm talking about? You ever had a kid do that? I call it the stomp and turn. You ever have them do that? They go. Only they stomp and turn this time and they plug up their ears. Oh, you're going to have your hands amputated. No. You are a kid. You do not get to tell me I'm not listening to you no more. And don't tell me you're not that way with your kids. All of a sudden you're kind of like, well, I'm just not so sure. Okay, well, in my household, I'd be called nubby. My daddy would have said to me, boy, you like them hands? I said, yes, sir. He'd say, put them back up there by your ears one more time, see what happens to them.
Amen.
Man, your dad, he must have been an ogre. Huh. You better be careful when you start trying to make my daddy out to be something he wasn't. You better watch it. You're on real, real tender ground right there. My daddy never compromised his testimony one time.
Right.
Not once. And pastored two or three of the biggest churches in the convention. But not at the expense. He was known all over town. People were constantly... My daddy wouldn't even so much as wear shorts on the golf course. He wore long breeches. And it was hot. I said, "Daddy, why don't you wear shorts?" He said, "'Cause I ain't supposed to." I don't care if you wear shorts. I'm just saying, be careful, because I tell stories about my daddy, not to think my daddy was kind of loose. No, sir, man. My daddy could get Ajax, get white off of Ajax. See, I wouldn't want to have been raised like that. Well, it didn't hurt me none. You compromising liver lily sapsucker. Look in verse 12. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone. That's a diamond. Lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts hath sent in His Spirit, by the former prophets, therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Therefore it has come to pass that as He cried, they would not hear, so they cried, and I would not hear. You say, why? Hardened their hearts. They did it. Why? They didn't like to hear what God said. Hey, Moses goes up on the mountaintop there, and he's up there for a little while, and he comes back down. Boy, he's on fire, and his face shones and all that kind of stuff. And Moses says, hey, listen, don't come against the Lord there for 3 days. Don't come to your family and so on and so forth, and gather up at the bottom of the mountain. And I'm going to go up there, and I'm going to hear what God has to say, and I'm going to walk up there and get this and that done. And when the Lord began to thunder from heaven, you know what they said? Moses. Yeah. Moses. Yeah. Man, I tell you what, Moses, you go talk to him. He's too loud. And they ran and hid in their tents. You say, was the problem the decibels in their ears? No, sir. The problem was the hardness of their heart. Your problem is not the people you run with. Your problem is the blackness of your heart. I used to love preaching like this, and now all of a sudden you're... Well, now, the way I see it is, there's different levels of hardness. And while I agree that the heart can become so hard that it's like a diamond, mine's a little more along the lines of maybe a chunk of coal. It's black, but it's not that hard. Yeah, but if anybody dares try to crush it, they are going to get covered in soot. Romans chapter 2. Church today has gotten its windows so smudged that there's no light going out. Yeah. Just like the rest of the world. It's not, they can't see in. They don't think nothing's going on inside. You see why? You got black stuff all over the windows. The problem ain't the world dirtying up the windows. They're dirtied from inside. Amen. The light of the world can't get out because it's dirty on the inside. The problem ain't the world. Romans chapter number 2. Verse number 5. 4. Or despisest thou the riches of goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasureth up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation from the righteous judgment of God, who will render every man according to his deeds. I know where Romans chapter 2 fits. You know what he just said? They get wrath because they harden their heart and they won't repent when they hear it. Have you ever done that? God ever talked to you before and said to you, hey, you wicked, ungodly hypocrites, you? That's how he talks to me. He probably doesn't know. He probably talks to you like, oh, hello, little monarch butterfly. You're so
You're so sweet and you're so beautiful, and all of your glory as your orange and black begins to flash and you begin to light across the lilies of the field. And could I have a moment with you and could we just sit down? Hey, don't do that with me. He said, you old wicked reprobate, come here. Sit down and shut up. You never had God tell you that ever? I mean, that's what he says to me. Shut up. You ever been in the middle of an argument? Y'all probably don't. Do you ever been in the middle of an argument before? And the Lord says to you, not audibly, but like Moses coming off the mountain, shut your mouth. And you're like, but Lord, I know I'm right. Oh, so you're saying I'm wrong and telling you to shut up? Man, when he tells me that, it's like, uh-oh, I know what's coming. I like it because it's like he don't beat around the bush. But most of the times when he says, shut up, I'm like, could I just say one thing? He said, I said, shut up. And I said, well, I already know what you're going to say. Oh, you do? Yes, sir, you're going to say what you'd already told me and I've made you repeat yourself. Well, it got in the way there. My heart, my emotions, my will, my way. Can you stay with me for just a few minutes? Hebrews 3. Hebrews 3. Stubborn, unrepentant heart. There's a cleanness. There's a pureness. There's a holiness. There's a sterileness that runs white hot when God has His way in your life. When God has His way in your life, it's like lava. It cauterizes everything in you. And it cleans you. And it heals you. And it fixes you. And it burns out the rot and the stench and the smell and the bitterness. I mean, it is like unbelievable when it flows through you. But most of us won't lay on the table long enough for Him to burn it out. Isaiah had it when the cherubim, seraphim came up there. Seraphim came up there with the tongs and got the coals from off the altar and touched His lips. You say, why? Isaiah said, I am a man of unclean lips. Watch it, and I'm dwelling in the midst. Wrong company. I'm picking up their habits. And the Lord said, I got something for you. What was it? Hot, boy. Talk about a sermon off the altar. You say, what did it do? It burned. I don't know about you, but I don't like that. I don't like a steak raw. Now I like to eat it raw. Okay, well, good. Help yourself. But I like it when it's cooked and seared on the outside, and it sears those flavors in there. You know what it does? It makes it taste better. You know what I know? I know the Lord tastes a lot better after He sears me, after He cleans me out, and I get back in fellowship with Him and it runs white hot, boy. There's a boldness that's there, and there's a fellowship that's there with Him. And He's like, hey, nobody else around, me and you. I got it. Come on. And I don't see Enoch having a lot of friends either, but he had me. So I guess he did okay. What do you think, you know? Yeah. There's a cleanness to it. It's easy to make decisions then. Ain't it? It's clear cut. It's a piece of cake. And you pick up the phone, you see it's like, burn it out. No problem at all. You know why you get hung in between? Because your heart is hard. You don't want Him to burn it out. Little bit. Don't hurt. Hebrews chapter 3, I can't burn it out of you.
verse number 12, the Bible says this, take heed, brethren, lest there be... Oh, I already gave you that one. I'm sorry. Hebrews 4. That's the one I'm looking for. Hebrews 4. Sorry for the do-over. Verse number 5. We'll go over a few more of these on Sunday morning. I've only got 5 pages of them. You say, what are they all about? Hardness of heart. You know, I've learned this, I'm not a Bible scholar. Dr. Ruckman was the Bible scholar. Brother Donovan is right on his heels. Those are the two greatest guys when it comes to learning the Bible. I'm not a Bible scholar. But I've learned this, Brother Mitch. I've learned if the Lord says something one time, it's really important.
Amen.
If He says it a couple of times, it's kind of like He's trying to make a point. But He says it as many times as your wife does in an argument. It's a major point that you're not getting, and that's why she's repeating it.
Amen.
See, ladies, you thought I was getting on to you. I just took up for you. Y'all should have let your hanky go. Woo! Preacher just told me I can say it more than once. Write it on a postcard and mail it. He'll get it sooner than he gets it from you talking. If you could grasp how much power you actually have. Can God make a rock so big He can't move it? Here's a better question. Can God make a Christian do something He doesn't want to do? Well, if He could, I'd like to see Him. Because you know what He does after He saves you? He lets you decide if you want to do it or not.
Amen.
That means you're in command of God. Think about it. Not command of your salvation. You have a choice to touch the tree or not, eat the tree or not. Right? You have a choice to do what the Bible says or not. Right?
Yep.
Who's got the power? The one with the choice. Isn't it interesting He doesn't force you? But how come it is that when it comes to messages along these lines, we're like, why you got to bring that up? Because you make it about smoking and drinking and cussing and how somebody's dressed and their hairdo and what kind of a pocketbook they carry or what kind of shoes they wear or what kind of car they drive or who they're with or what they're doing or whatever else it might be that's so stinking carnal. I know where your mind's at. It's on carnal garbage. You know what that means? I know you ain't spending no time in the book. You're too busy looking at everybody else's Facebook. And I ain't going to quit preaching on that either.
Amen.
You say, why? It's done a lot of damage in this church.
Amen.
Preacher, I told my wife, you know, she ought not do it. But you know, you just can't force certain things. I know. I understand. I know that that couch is lumpy too. Hebrews 4, verse 5. And the place again, if they shall enter into rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some of the enter therein, talking about the millennial rest, that they whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. And again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after a long time it is said today, if you will hear his voice, and what? Harden not your heart. I gave you the passages the other day in Exodus where the Bible says Pharaoh hardened his heart, Pharaoh hardened his heart, Pharaoh hardened his heart. And by the time you get over there to Exodus chapter number 10, the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. You know what got me about that? Come to Isaiah chapter 6. You know what got me about that? Is suppose I harden my heart, harden my heart, harden my heart. And then the Lord says, you know what? I think I'm going to take over now. And I think I'm going to harden your heart. I don't think there's anything that is more diabolical than a hardened heart of a Christian. You say, why? He had a soft heart toward you. You can't have a soft heart toward others. 10-hearted. 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 Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. You know the passage. Whereby you seal to the day of redemption. And he comes down through there, let all these things go, and forgiving one another. Be ye tenderhearted, 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 forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Tenderhearted. You know what they used to say to me in athletics and stuff like that? They would say, a lot of times the coaches would stand there and say, that boy don't have no heart. I was raised in the South. That's how they said it. He ain't got no heart. Meaning that when he had to grab it and growl, when he had to reach way down and he had to suck it up and had to play through a little bit of pain or whatever it might be, he didn't have the guts to be able to do it. He was there as long as everything worked his way. But the minute it got tough, you know what he said? I'm out. No heart. You know what Christians are nowadays? No heart. It gets tough. I'm out. I quit. I'm done. I'm through. This is so hard. People are so mean. You better be careful. You're talking about God's bride. You're talking about God's kids. I'm just not, you know what you're saying? I deserve better treatment than I'm getting. Well, aren't you something? Aren't you something? Why do you deserve better treatment than you're getting? Because you're special? Is that why you deserve better treatment? I'm just asking. Why you complain so much? Because you think you deserve better treatment than you're getting. That's why you complain. That's why you gripe. Yep. Amen. There's all kind of ways to do it too. There's no justifiable griping. Amen. Just people gripe one way and another person gripes another way. It's both still griping. Isaiah chapter number 6. No heart. No heart. You know why people quit school? You say, well, you know, things get... Oh, shut up. No heart. You go to school when it's easy and you got time, but if it's going to cost you something, I bet you those that quit school are still watching the box. I bet you they're still on their social media. Bet you they still have time for recreation. You ain't got no heart. You ain't got the guts to go practice after practice, work on your weak spots. All you do is complain about the ones that get the awards at the end of school. And they're standing there with a trophy and all you can do is go, well, I'm as good as she is. It's just she knows somebody. Her daddy knows somebody. And the only reason she got the trophy is she knows the coach, you know, and her and the coach and all that kind of, shut up. That's a weak heart talking. When it gets tough, you know what will get you through? The right kind of heart. Amen. You say, what got Jesus through? His heart. Amen. You're weak in the heart. You've got to grab it and growl sometimes. You've got to have some guts. It ain't easy. It ain't supposed to be. It's worth something. If you knew what some people went through just to be able to complete what they did and to be able to come to church, you would be ashamed of yourself to say, well, I'm just so busy. I just have so much. I can't make it to church. You got a blind woman back there that catches a community bus that comes in here and comes in an hour early to straighten the pew you're sitting on in the dark. What's your excuse? You ain't got no heart. Let's just call it like it is. Let's call the baby ugly. You ain't going to Romania with Noel. You say, well, you ain't got no heart. You say, why? You might have to not have air conditioning in a flushing toilet. You ain't going to let your bitterness and wrath go and be forgiving of other people. You say, well, you ain't got no heart. Your heart's keeping you from doing it. God ain't got your heart. If He had your heart, you wouldn't be thinking what you're thinking right now. That ain't Him thinking. Isaiah chapter 6, look in verse number 9, and he said, go and tell his people and hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat. Make their ears heavy. And shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and convert and be healed. You know what the Lord just said right there? I'll tell you what you do, since they harden their heart against me. He said, you preach in such a way it hardens their heart so they can't get it. Boy, that's rough. John 12, just a couple more. I know you've been sitting a while. We're just talking about hardness of heart. If Why are you preaching about this? Because I got the same problem you do. When I'm disobedient to God, I know what the problem is. You say, well, the problem's me. Okay, define me. My heart, how I'm thinking about it. I disobey because I'm disobedient. I'm not disobedient, therefore I am a disobeyer. I disobey because I'm disobedient. My heart's messed up. How far does the Lord have to push you when He asks you to do something? And then you pause and say, Lord, can we talk about that just a minute? I mean, I just want to have a clear understanding. Exactly what does that repentance mean? I mean, Lord, are you really sure? You honestly think the Lord would sit down and have a conversation with you about that when you already know what the answer is? You think He's going to talk to somebody with a wicked heart? You know why He doesn't talk to some of you? You've got some great preachers here. Our own homegrown boys, you got some great preachers here. You know why some of you can't hear them? Your heart's just as hard as it can be. And they have the courtesy and kindness not to get out the jackhammer. That's my job anyway. That ain't their job. And don't you be goading them into it either. Because after I get done with them, then I'll get with you. That ain't their job. That's my job. You like somebody correcting your kids? Don't be calling me a kid. Oh, go get your heart right and come back and see the rest of us, okay? You can get a little punk. And don't be trying to goad them in there. Don't be trying to grab their ear. You know, just what I think you ought to be doing. Hey, get in the fray, okay? Go to school and hang out with me for a little while and see if you can keep up with the column before you think you can stand up here and tell them what they ought to be saying. Don't be getting out your thinking critical apparatus and like you some kind of a judge, preaching judge. You can't preach your way out of a paper bag, but you sure can tell everybody else how they ought to be preaching. I got guys in here and women in here that write outlines that would literally mystify intellectuals. They're that smart. They're that good. And they're sitting right here. And some of them ain't even 30 years old. And you're... Did you really think that he should have... I don't know if he's rightly dividing that or not. You have a problem. You say, what's your problem? Your heart. You're just about to have it snapped. John chapter 12. Let's just finish with this one. My ears are getting red. Verse 39, therefore they could not believe because that Isaiah said again, He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart and be converted and I should heal them. You know what He just said to you right there? He said He wanted to help them. But He couldn't help them because He couldn't get in their heart. You know what I know based on that passage right there and a number of other ones that I'm going to give you on Sunday? You know what I know from my study that I've seen that I can't say that I've fully grasped until this time around? After all these years banging my head against a steel post and not knowing, understanding why it didn't even put a dent in it? You know what I've learned? I've learned God will not move against your heart. And I've learned that once you make up your heart, no amount of convincing is going to change your direction. I've learned this, and this is the scary part, that as long as you choose to stay that way, God will not speak to you. You're still saved. But if you're going to be rebellious, you know what He said? I'm done trying to talk to you. I want to help them, but they shut their heart off. I want to help them, but it keeps bouncing off. Keeps bouncing off. Keeps bouncing off. Don't even let it sink in. They don't even realize how hard their heart is. Not crazy. Just a hard heart. Made up your mind. I ain't changing. I don't care what the Bible says. You know the scary thing? And I'm working on it. You know what the scary thing is? It sure does look like, according to that, that God says, okay. Well, I'll save you, but I'm done. See you at the judgment seat. Like for you to get right, soften your heart, so I can talk to you again. It doesn't look at all like God speaks to you through your intellect. If He did, Einstein would have got it. There ain't nobody in here. Y'all are smart. There ain't nobody in here smart as He is. He don't speak through the intellect. He speaks through your heart. Ladies, when you first met your husband, you did not look at him and mathematically put an equation together and say, now, he would be a good choice, and that would make a lot of sense. He works, he makes X amount of dollars. If we have 3 kids divided by 18 years, that would be, let's see, that means he would have to make this amount of, you know what? He may be ugly as a mud fence, but he would be a good choice. He's got a good, stable job. No, some of you, you married somebody and people ask you when you got married, why did you marry them? You know what you said? You know what you said? Ma'am? You said, I love him. And that emotion in your heart overwhelmed the intellectual side. You know what I know? God doesn't speak to you through your intellect. He speaks to you through your heart. And you have the power to shut Him out. Whew. I don't know if you're picking up what I'm putting down. That's a scary thought. I can grieve Him. I can quench Him. Yeah, but I can shut Him down. I need Him. I need His direction. I need to know what He wants me to do, how to do it. Lord knows, and then I'm finding out, well, you're the one controlling it. Well, now, wait a minute. I don't want that responsibility. No, I'm not going to override your heart. Oh, He cares about how you feel. How you feel. It matters to Him. How do you take orders from Him? How do you take a rebuke from Him? How do you take affection from Him? Do you let Him love you? See? It's not all negative. Do you let Him love you? Are you so unlovable to yourself that you don't let the Lord love you? Do you let Him love you? Or do you feel like, I don't know that I want Him loving me. Because then He's going to expect something in return. Boy, you got a funny way of looking at love. That's a worldly way of looking at love. You damaged goods. You better let somebody love you that ain't there to take advantage of you. You wounded. Everybody in your life that's been supposed to love you took advantage of you. He won't take advantage of you. Do you let Him love you? Why you close your heart off? It ain't just that you can't love, it's you don't want to be loved. Father, I pray You bless Your Word, and I realize some things have been pretty rough tonight and some things have been said. I'd pray, Lord, that You might help us to digest these matters. Help us to understand and consider the importance of them. Help us to understand, Lord, that came out of the question in Bible study that we can't force truth on anybody. We can live a life in such a fashion as to make it amicable to them and maybe get an opportunity to lay it out there. But Lord, You're the one that plants it and waters it and grows it. And if it gets in, it has to get in through their heart. And You have to be the one to show them. Lord, would You please remove the burden off of these people to feel it is their responsibility to try and show people truth that can only be shown by You, and help them to be gracious and kind and merciful to the people that they're around. Help them, Lord, to be able to point out the things when You open the door for them. Help them to always be in prayer about whether they should or shouldn't and what they should or shouldn't say. Deliver us all from our wicked, cold, hard, black heart. And help us, Lord, to set about checking our own heart out and quit worrying about the hearts of everyone else. I pray, Lord, You'll bless the study that's been done. and that continues to be done. We'd ask that you'll watch over these folks. Thank you, Lord, for the great news and for the people who have unselfishly given and gotten us to the point where our next phase will now be pretty much covered, Lord. And things are moving quickly, Lord, and we see your hand in what's going on. We'd ask, Lord, your blessings upon Brother Holland as he continues to direct things. Brother Brad, as he continues to feed the finances in there so that we get the stuff taken care of and a record kept of all of those things. But Lord, we can't thank you for enough for your supernatural intervention in spite of our own wickedness. Forgive me, Lord, where I've backed up and backed off a little bit and not been as white hot as I ought to be and as definitive. Help us to reset, to dig in, to hunker down, and get done what it is you want us to do until the time by death or rapture you come to get us, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.